mind, but now I see.
Yes, Lord, we thank you so much for your grace. I just encourage you to hold your hands in front of you as you just receive from the Lord. The Lord's mercy and grace is abounding, never ending. The Lord longs to give his children good gifts. He is our good Father in heaven. And Father, we receive what you have to give us today in joy and with thanks. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Open our hearts and our minds to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Please do sit down as Christina comes to read God's word to us.
Acts 1:6-14. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All of these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as all his brothers.
Thanks very much, Christina. So, who here counts down the number of days to a special event? Or at least has done so at some point in your life? Yeah, lots more hands going up. So, okay, next question. At what point do you begin counting? Do you count from 30 days? Do you count from 364 days? Go on then. Thank you very much for sharing that, Erin. And so but isn't that interesting, isn't it? Because for us, it's something we're looking forward to. It's something we're excited about. We're waiting for it. And for kids, you know, the whole idea of time and quantifying what time is and how long, they've got no idea, have they? You know, Alice used to say, we're going to be doing that tomorrow. By that, she meant now. She didn't get the idea that tomorrow was the day afterwards. See, I've decided that counting down actually makes time go slower. Yes or no? Yeah? In some ways. It seems to stretch it, doesn't it? A friend of mine, he was quite wise, he said to me, he said, Paul, when you're one day old, when by the time you're 2 days old, one day is 50% of your life. And so therefore, it feels like a long time because that's all you've experienced. By the time you are 95, one day is a much shorter percentage of your life, and that's why time seems to go quicker the older you get. Was he right? I don't know. Maybe we'll find out one day. But it's also true, isn't it, that the kids, or at least our kids, say, are we nearly there yet? Who else has had that? I thought that, you know, it just tends to make the journey longer, doesn't it? I was actually convinced that hardly anybody ever used to say that until I became a parent. And then my parents told me that I said it as well, which I don't really remember at all. But then, of course, I wouldn't. Jesus' ascension took place after he'd given his friends the Great Commission for the last time. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus' disciples were those that he'd chosen to charge with what was a seemingly overwhelming task. He'd brought into play the beginning of a new movement. His church would grow through the Holy Spirit's power and his followers' actions as they stepped out in faith. I can't help but picture Jesus being a little bit disappointed by his friends' comment, however, before he gave them the charge. They asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? In other words, is this the time you're going to get rid of the Romans? They still hadn't got it, had they? Had they forgotten all that Jesus had done and said? For a moment, his friends had slipped back into the mindset of the Jewish believers who thought that Jesus might be their earthly king who'd rid them of the Romans. Jesus gave a gentle rebuke, and it clarified it was the Holy Spirit who'd be there, the one that gave them the strength to do everything he would call them to do in his name. I expect they were still a bit confused and perhaps overcome by the task ahead of them. Have you ever started a job and when someone's explained what you have to do, thought, how on earth am I going to remember this? It's hard enough, isn't it, when you go into the room and then all of a sudden you've got five or six names and you go into another room and you've got five or six more names and then it goes on and on and on and it keeps going through the whole morning. And then by the time the afternoon comes on your first day, you've got, 15 or 16 different things that you need to do either daily that after 5 or 6 months just become normal, what you don't think about. Well, we'll be forgiven for thinking that Jesus' friends, who were just given their job charge, would be a little bit nervous. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They didn't even know what the earth looked like. Then, in true unpredictable Jesus style, Jesus did, for now, a final demonstration of who he was when he was lifted up. And no disappearing act has ever done anything to come close to that moment when he went up in the clouds. The resurrection had proved that Jesus could defeat death. Next, his ascension confirmed the status he had as he went up into heaven. Proof of his being God in a human body, returning to glory. However, for two reasons, that wasn't a final goodbye. Firstly, Jesus had said that he would send a helper. The Holy Spirit would be with them and give them the power that they needed to fulfill their calling. And secondly, the men in white confirmed his friends were to wait for his return. Jesus would come again. To wait for his return. Because Jesus would come again. These two points are central to the church's growth and calling. Jesus' followers were to wait. In Mark's gospel, we're told, beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. The disciples had no idea if Jesus' return would be tomorrow, in 10 days, 10 years, or 10,000 years. There was no point in them just gawping at the clouds when Jesus had told them to go and spread the word. And while they waited for Jesus to return, they would be assured that he was with them by his Spirit, who would come and be their helper and the power in all that they did in his name for everything he called them to do. In the wait, they were to be with him as they witnessed who Jesus was. In the wait, they were to be with him as they witnessed who Jesus was. They'd seen Jesus raised from the dead, and now they waited for the power of God to come upon them so they could be effective witnesses. This was about making themselves ready, as they also helped ready others for the time Jesus would again come down from heaven. Over 20 years ago, I remember going back to work, and it was probably the first or the second half term that I'd been teaching. I'd just gone into the school. The kids knew the school better than I did. You can imagine the situation, can't you? It takes that time just to get your feet under the floor. And I remember going into the staff room, as I say, a few days in the morning, and I was thinking, ah. And I'd worked out how many days it would be until my next half term. And so I went to the head of year that where we were meeting together. I said, oh, do you know, there's 46 days until our next half term. And she said, Paul, don't wish your life away. Why would you want to do that? Like me counting down the days to my holiday, I expect that Jesus' friends would have quite happily wished their here and now lives away in the hope that Jesus would return soon. Jesus, after all, was preparing a place for them. John wrote that Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. These words give us so much hope for a future, don't they? I don't know about you, though I love being part of creation. I love the flowers, I love the church, I love my family and my other friends. I love the beauty that I see. I love the awesomeness of the mountains and the clouds when I look into them. I love the sea in all its power and stillness. Today's reading, however, reminds us that God has a plan for us and his world. One day Jesus will return and all death and pain will be wiped away. Pain and suffering will be no more. Death will be a thing of the past. Would you like that to be the case now? Are we sure? It would be fantastic, wouldn't it? Would you like that to be the case now? It would be amazing, wouldn't it? Because death is not actually supposed to be the thing that God wants to be in the world, actually. You know, people say that there are two things that are certain. One is that we will be born, and the next that we will die. Actually, do you know what? That's not how God intended it originally. He intended us to be born and to live forever with him in the beauty of creation that he had made. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I could go on. Of course, the party in heaven is going to be so absolutely amazing. Sorry, Jennifer, your cakes are amazing. But in heaven, the food is going to be this next level. There will be so many new types of cakes and things that you can make and bake, if that's what the Lord's called you to in that part of that time. But the thing is, I don't know about you, but I'm also aware that there are so many people who don't know Jesus. And so I hope until as many people as possible have given their lives to him before he comes back. I can't wait to see Jesus face to face. But I don't want to wish other people's eternal lives away who don't yet know the Lord. Right now, Jesus invites you and me to partner with him, to make him known as we also grow in faith. Now is a preparation for the eternal life to come, but it's so much more than that as well. Life is a gift, as was just waking up this morning and taking the first breath that we took. But as we wait, we can make the most of time, living life to the full and waiting for the fullness of time when Jesus will come again. The ascension is something that is easily forgotten about in the calendar of things that we remember for Jesus' life. We remember Christmas and Easter, and yes, they're brilliant. Easter's probably my favourite of those two. But the ascension is so important. The call we have to make Jesus known rests not only on who Jesus is and what he did, but also on the fact that he is going to return. The call we have to make Jesus known rests not only on who Jesus is and what he's done, but the fact he's going to return. The whole of creation continues to groan and move towards that moment. Paul reminded us that we're called to love others and stir ourselves from sleep in the knowledge that salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. There's another thing that's certain, isn't there? And that is that today we're closer to meeting Jesus face to face. Isn't that amazing? Are you ready for that moment when you'll meet him face to face? I don't know about you, but I think there are a few things that I'd like to sort out first. And so as they waited, what did the disciples do? They got onto horses, they charged as fast as they could into the sunset, shouting Jesus' name from the rooftops. Actually, no. That's not how it happened. They returned together to the room upstairs and devoted themselves to prayer. Their first action was not to reaction, but to ask for God's action in their lives. They showed that they depended upon God. Was it the room where Jesus had shared bread and wine with them the night before he died? Maybe. Maybe not. We don't know. But they met firstly together to pray God's plan into action. Are you motivated by prayer? Do you pray God's plans into action? Are you excited by the prospect of some role in helping ready God's world for Jesus' return? As today we give thanks for the financial gifts that have been given to make Jesus known, we're also so thankful for the gifts of time and prayer that so many in All Saints give freely. These are essential parts of our journey of discipleship of each other and of others. Time, money, and prayer. All are essential as we seek to live out the Great Commission to be God's witnesses in Dedworth, Windsor, the UK, and around the world. Is that something that you're excited by? Are you excited by the idea of being able to not first go and do, but firstly be with God, to receive his power, to do what he calls us to, as we give to him all that we are? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you're with us. We thank you for the truth that you will come again and be with us, and that when you do, you will wipe all death away. We thank you that in your resurrection and through your death, Lord, before, that you have dealt with death, you've given it a mortal blow, and that one day it will be no more. And Lord, as we wait, we pray that we would live life to the full, as we wait for the fullness of time when you will come again. And Lord, we pray that our actions wouldn't be to react, to feel that we are the ones that are just going to ride off into the sunset and save the world. Because that's not what you call us to do. You firstly call us to be and believe, and then to step forwards, a step at a time, and say, yes, Lord. So as we continue to worship you now, we pray, speak to us. Help us hear your voice as we say yes to you. Amen.